that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. That old wheel has rolled around again, not only for Saturday, but the end of the calendar year is fast upon us. And we just say praise the Lord for that. But we welcome you to Coffee with the Wranglers, and we'll bring everybody on board. We've got a full crew this morning. Good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning. And
good morning, John.
Good morning.
Welcome back from your travels, and glad you had a safe trip. And from the deep south, good morning, Brother Josh.
Good morning, sir.
And thank you for joining us, and we thank you, the remnant, for tuning in this morning. Looks to be a beautiful day. It's just a little brisk out here, 6 below 0. And for you math challenge, that's got a minus in front of it. And so just a little brisk out here. But that's the way it is. It's called wintertime, and so we welcome it. And the Lord is good in the moisture that He brings where He's bringing it, and we rejoice in that. We'll have the phone lines open in a bit, but we're going to ask Jason if he'd open us up in prayer this morning.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I come before you, and I ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. I ask for your blessing upon us. I pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we are to go, Father. And I pray, Father, that you just allow us to be a light into a dark world, that you use us in a mighty and powerful way, Father, that you just, that you tend to the needs of the remnant across this land, Father. We lift them up to you, each and every one of them. You know who they are, you know where they are, and you know the number of hairs on their head, Father, and we ask for your blessings to be upon them, Father. We pray that you protect us in the times that we're living in from the hands of our enemies and those that hate us and those that seek to have us destroyed and wipe us off the face of the earth. We pray that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that come against us and all the ways, shapes, and forms that they war with us, Father. We pray that you go before us, Father, and that you war with those that war against us. We pray that you strengthen us and that you encourage us and that you that you just shine your face down upon us, Father. Allow our cup to overflow with blessings from your throne, Father, and that you just keep us on that straight and narrow path, Father, and that as we continue on to march on, Father, that we smile at the future. We don't know sometimes what the future may bring, but, Father, we know that you're in charge of it, and we ask, Father, that you just assist us in all that we need assistance with, that you give us more of your Holy Spirit and give us more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Give us more power and authority over the enemies that come against us. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, again, we welcome you to the program, Coffee with the Wranglers, and we are coming to you live this Saturday morning, December 29th, 2018, and we'll have the phone lines open this morning, and if you want to call in, the number is 307-745-5913, and if you have a question or a comment, and Jason, I like how you prayed, you know, for saving us from the hands of those that hate us. And if people are not familiar with that, I know many people in the ministry are, but we have new people coming on every week. And we encourage you to, you know, be reading your Bible, because the Bible story tells us that there are those that do the desire of their father, the devil, who was a liar from the beginning. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you have a red letter Bible, when you read that, you'll see those are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That he said that's what the thief comes to do, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And we see it all throughout our society today. But we have to remember that Jesus Christ came to bring a life and life abundant. And that's a very there's a very big difference in those two things, in that abundant life, in that stealing, killing, and destroying. And we do our best to teach our children that, to talk about that with friends and family, that to recognize that we do have enemies, but we have a greater power. We have all power and authority, as Luke 10:19 tells us, over these forces of darkness, be they spiritual or physical. Because sometimes they come against you in both ways. And but just a reminder on my heart this morning that we remember that although we battle, we have the victory. The victory has been won. We have to claim it, and we have to believe it, and live our lives that way, regardless. Regardless of what happens. And there's lots happening from, you know, with the government shut down. I don't know about you guys, but it really hasn't impacted my life a whole lot, or my friends and people that I've talked to. Maybe the media, maybe people in bigger cities, it's impacted a lot. But Josh, have you seen a big impact from this government shutdown over the holidays?
No, sir. Not down here. Maybe it'll... Well, I was going to make a joke, but I guess I won't. I was going to say maybe it'll show people how little they actually are doing, you know, so they're not missed that much.
But true.
I don't know if that's accurate or not.
That's what they're worried about. You got, what, 600,000 employees or something that are non-essential. I think it's even higher than that. And I think they're afraid that if it goes on too long, all of a sudden people will be saying, oh, wait a minute. We have 600 non-essential employees. We really need them. Yeah.
Amen.
But this goes along with what you were talking about, Richards, down from Josh's neck of the woods there. It says, the headline that caught my eye here last evening was, cops blame Satan for spike in homicides. A rural Alabama police department that used social media to scold community members for rejecting God and coming under the line, under fire from a group that exposes mixing government and religious faith. The statement posted on Facebook by the OP police department on Tuesday blames the spike in the area homicides on the idea that young people have turned away from God and embraced Satan.
Amen.
And, of course, as soon as the Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation saw the article, they filed suit against them, saying that they are mixing religion and government. And so I just thought that was encouraging. And then they actually put the post in here. Let's see if I can find it. It's worth reading. It's fairly short. It says, this past Sunday, a young man was shot and killed in Kinston. Monday night, a mother was shot and killed in northern Covington County. There have been 5 murders in Covington County in 2018. These murders have been done by our young people. This is happening because we have turned away from God and embraced Satan. We may not have meant to do so, but we have, and it's time to ask for God's help to stop this. It is time for parents to raise your children, not have them raise us. It is time to fully support law enforcement and stand by the officers and deputies that are far too often having to walk into these dangerous situations to clean up the mess. Friends, it's time to stand up and be responsible, grown-up leaders in our community. Bottom line is, there are sheep, there are wolves, and there are sheepdogs. Which group do you belong to?
Amen.
So I thought that was encouraging.
Amen. Yeah, I saw that last week, and it was encouraging because you see that we're not alone. You know, God has His people all over that understand, that know that there's a spiritual battle going on, that knows that it's not all just, follow the yellow brick road down to socialism and communism. That there are people, even the Freedom From Religion may keep them, foundation may keep them out of the press and keep them off social media, but it doesn't change the people's minds, even the police. And, they're not all perfect any more than any of us are, but it is certainly good to see those type things. Well, guys, let's try the phone this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. First of all, I hope you all have a very abundantly blessed new year, and I appreciate the program that you put on Saturdays and, of course, church on Sundays. I have a question about the Book of Enoch and Volume 9 of the Dragon's Lair. You guys have some excerpts in there, and then my question was about Luke 11:24. And I actually went to my Bible and I got it highlighted. So the ministry might have mentioned this before, but it says, when the foul spirit goes out of the man, he wanders through waterless places in search of rest. Are the waterless places maybe people that aren't baptized? Do you think a water place is somebody that has contacted the blood of Christ through baptism? I was looking for any thoughts on that, because when I read that line, that's what I was thinking, that maybe that the demon can't go to a place that's been touched by water because that person's been baptized and contacted the blood of Christ. Any thoughts on that? Maybe the ministry has discussed this before. Like I said, I went to my Bible, I already have it highlighted, so at some point in time this has been talked about or I've thought about it. So I was just looking for some comments on that. Anything?
Well, I think that's an excellent point. I have to admit, I don't think that I looked at it that way, but it totally makes sense. In fact, I appreciate you bringing that up, and definitely will need to look into that. Excuse me, need to look into that a little more.
Yeah, I think you've been thinking. I don't know if everybody else likes that, not here, but the enemies, because you've been thinking about the word, and that is a good thing. I don't know either. I think that's a good point. I think many times when you read through, you'll see the Bible, it talks about, like in 1 Corinthians, talking about the evil that will not, the evil activities that will keep you out of the kingdom. And then it says, but such as some were you, but you were washed, you were cleansed. And we see that all throughout the scriptures. When it comes to things like water and being sprinkled and cleansed and washed, and that's certainly another good place that we see it.
I think
it,
also
a good place to study on it.
I think also when it talks about the waterless places, it's water, without water, there's no life. It's lifeless, you know. We have to remember, too, though, is you, sometimes you can't just read the one scripture. You have to take it into context and remember where those demons went. They went into pigs. So I think part of the teaching is that these demons cannot reside in something that's lifeless. And, you know, something like the desert, something that's dead, something that's void of water is dead. And I think that's part of the teaching as well, is as long as, you know, you have Christ in you, like you said, and you've been baptized and stuff, then these demons may, you know, they're inevitably going to flee from you. You can't be demon possessed, but they can influence you. And that's my position, is we've been given free will. Even our pastor was teaching us about conduits to demons. Well, that's the same thing as opening a door. We need to be careful that we don't create those conduits to demons, that we don't give Satan legal ground to operate in our lives by the way we live our lives. And the mistakes that we make, we need to make sure that we're repentant, which is what communion is all about, is to how we abide in Christ, confess our sins, known and unknown, ask for forgiveness. But I think that's a deeper point that we don't want to miss, is the fact that those demons ended up going into a life force. Whether, you know, although it was pigs, it was still a life force that drove, you know, that drove them crazy, and then they ended up, you know, going into the water and drowning. But so I don't have all the answers, but I think we need to read the verse in context and make sure that we look at all aspects of it. Anybody else have any thoughts?
No, I would agree with that.
But thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your comments on that. And Jonathan, John, I'm sorry, one last comment. I appreciate you bringing up the struggles of Christ people in South Africa. I'm not sure. I know a lot of people on this ministry are in the know about world events, but those people down there are really struggling, to put it very mildly. So thank you for bringing that up in regular discussion and praying for those people. I try to do it on my own too, because they could certainly use the prayers. There's no doubt about it. The last 20 years since the social structure kind of came apart down there with the ANC taking over. It's really, South Africa is a window. I believe, this is just my opinion, but South Africa now is a window to America's future if we continue on the path that we're on. So I guess that's why it kind of resonates with me, with the struggles down there. So I appreciate you speaking up for his people in South Africa. Gentlemen, have a great day. Thank you for your time. Take care.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, in fact, why don't we do that? Why don't we lift the people of South Africa up? I was reading some horrific stuff here the other day that someone sent me. Just the torture and mutilation is just unfathomable. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We cry out, Lord. Hear us as your people who are called by your name. Cry out for your people who are called by your name in South Africa, Lord. Those that call themselves Christians, those that are on their knees, Father, crying out for grace and mercy and compassion. Father, we do. We ask that you would send your angels, Lord. Send your ministering angels to minister them and to strengthen them and to increase their faith. And Father, send your guardian angels to protect them. Let them encircle them, Lord, and keep them from any harm. And Father, send your warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places to destroy those that seek to destroy your people. Father, give them wisdom and understanding. Give them whatever means that they need to defeat the enemy, Father. And Lord, we know that there's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we plead that precious, holy, cleansing, protective, healing blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over your people there in South Africa, Father, that no harm may come to them. And Father, let those that would dare harm one of your anointed, one of yours, Lord, let them feel your wrath, Father, however you see fit. Any of those who would not have you rule over them, Father, bring them into the courts and slay them. But, Father, we cry out and we ask for protection, wisdom, Father, for these people discernment, Lord, as to what it is that they need to do. Tell them when it's time to fight, when it's time to leave, and whatever needs to be done, Father. We place this issue in your hands, knowing full well that you can deal with it any way you see fit. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, it is that easy. It's that easy to pray, and it's that easy to call in here if you want. And the number, 307-745-5913.
You know, you talk about the persecution. Jason probably has a little bit of update on this too, but our brother Jack Phillips here in local town in Colorado, they came after him several years ago regarding not making a cake for same-sex marriage. Well, you know that they target these people, they target the churches. Their goal is to try to remove the protection 501c3 from these churches, and their goal is to destroy anyone who would dare stand up against their establishment. And they've come against them again. This time they set them up for not making a gender transition cake or something from some woman that, or man that wants to be a woman, whatever. And you know that it was a setup. You know that they plan these things in their deep, dark holes. And but the good news is that, you know, sometimes it's time to get off the defense and on the offense. And the offense, they filed a lawsuit against the state of Colorado. I mean, even the Supreme Court, I looked that up the other day, the ruling in the Supreme Court was 7-2 that the, what is it called, Jason, the Civil Rights Commission or something in Colorado that sued him was in the wrong and purposely persecuting a man. And even some of those were Obama appointees, but these people just can't get it through their head. They just cannot. They come only to steal, kill, and destroy.
Amen.
And but then again, greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us. And we need to remember to keep men like him in our prayers. These are battles that if we lose these battles, then they're going to affect us at one time or another. And just like South Africa, you know, it may not affect us personally, and some it does, but it's
yeah,
really
well, it was what happened the same day that the U.S. Supreme Court granted the review in the Masterpiece Cake Shop versus the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. An attorney in Colorado called Philip Shop and requested a custom cake with a blue exterior and a pink interior to celebrate a gender transition from male to female. And, you know, so, you, I mean, you talk about a setup. It was a setup right from go. It was, you know, it was ridiculous. I mean, and they've targeted them because, you know, because you're somebody that stood up and taken a stand on something and, you know, fought for what they believe in. You know, they want to be able to fight for what they believe in, but they really have a problem when you start fighting for what you believe in. You know, that's politically incorrect as far as they're concerned. You know, you talk about a setup. It's been a setup all along the way with this. You know, I mean, you know, what are the chances? Oh yeah, you think he just randomly chose a cake shop out of there? I mean, you know, and with everything that's been in the news about this, I don't think that'd be a cake shop that he'd want to get a cake from and plan on eating anyway. I mean, you know, hello, it's been ridiculous. That's what they do, and that's what these perverts continually do, is they continually, you know, attack. You know, they try to get you involved in lawsuits, and they try to bankrupt you. They have their attorneys that, you know, that they can get for free, and then you're left to defend yourself.
Yeah, and it's our job to support a man like that, not only just spiritually but physically too, I think, to as he's battling these things, because these are the battles that if we don't fight now, they're just going to try to railroad us.
Amen. You know, John, you mentioned if it whether it affects you personally or not, it's like that last, it won't be the last, and and it's not the first, but the cop killer out in California that is an illegal alien, that is a gang member, and, you know, they caught him, but he got by for almost a week in Sanctuary State, California, and they've arrested eight people I saw it this morning on the headlines, in relation to this. Not just him, but eight people that have helped him, because, that's what they do. It's a sanctuary city. I saw also the one of the mayors out there, that had notified a bunch of, they were doing some illegal alien, try to use the right terminology, roundups, and the mayor heard about it, and she contacted the group and tipped them off, that, hey, the police are coming, so you need to leave. And that's an elected official, a mayor of a town. And so you may think, well, that's the way it goes out in California. That's how it is out there. Well, you know, in Arizona and down in Nevada and coming to Colorado, right? Because we've got a California-esque type of governor there now, pushing California-type laws, Boulder, banning assault rifles. So you can't take your fully automatic military rifle to Boulder anymore. An assault rifle, that's just sure up for debate and interpretation. But that's what these people do, and like you said, it might not be affecting you personally right now, but it will. It will. And Remnant, we can't wait until it comes and it hits your house. And then it's a big deal. No, it's a big deal now. It's a big deal, like you said, John, for Jack Phillips down there in Denver, and has been for a few years. It's been a big deal to him. Spiritually, it's been a big deal to him. Physically, financially, it's a big deal to the family out in California that lost their husband and father to this illegal immigrant, illegal invader that came in that has no respect for law. And that's the thing, is that they are lawless. They show. You mentioned this about the Masterpiece Cakes, that, like you said, Jason, the Supreme Court ruled in his favor. The Supreme Court of the United States ruled in his favor. But see, that means nothing to that lawyer that called and did his best to entrap him. And entrapment is against the law. But see, these people are lawless. They're absolutely lawless. And that is what they want. They want lawlessness. That's what we see in South Africa. We had rule of law there until the ANC took over. And now we have seen just an absolute decline in the entire society. And I think that caller was right, that if we don't change here, that is definitely a window to what could be happening here.
Yeah, I was reading this a little deeper into this case with Jack Phillips, and what they're saying now is the attorneys representing the Civil Rights Commission in Colorado have realized that the main reason that the Supreme Court ruled 7-2 was that they were overly hostile towards his religion. Well, now they're saying that we won't be as obvious about our hostility, but we will continue to go after Jack. I mean, talking about telling you exactly what they're going to do, which is rule of warfare.
I let you know it is warfare. It's not just about what, you know, and the Civil Rights Commission, civil rights. What does being transgender, you know, transgender people don't, they want us to recognize them. They don't even recognize themselves. But yet they want, but we're supposed to recognize them? You know, they don't know what they are. Male, female, left, right, blue, green, they don't know. But we're supposed to recognize that for how it is just today. And this, you know, teachers in schools are being fired because Mary wants to be called Billy today. and the teacher says, get back to your desk and get your schoolwork done, and doesn't, you know, follow along with the whims of this, and she's upset or it's upset, and teachers get fired over this in the public school system, it is an absolute war. And you know, our hope is that that remnant, that you see it, that it is a war of good versus evil. You know, right there where that the caller, when he was talking about Luke 11:24, if you take a look at Luke 11:23, the verse right before it, he who is, and this is Jesus speaking, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And so that kind of ties in with what I mentioned early on in the program about, you know, we're either, it is either about the abundant life that Jesus Christ brings, or it's from the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It is one or the other. There is no gray. It really is black and white. It really is one or the other. And Christ himself says right here, you're either with me or against me. You're either for me or you scatter. You gather people to me or you scatter. We either bring people to Christ or we push them away. And, you know, people have that choice. Choose you this day. You've heard before on this program and from this ministry, who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But that's a choice.
Back to a wise preacher many years ago who could foresee, who was a seer, who could foresee the yes. things that were going on and what was going to take place, and took a stand that cost him a lot in the early stages of their implementation of this LGBTQ, ABCD, EFG, whatever agenda. He took a stand against Amendment 2, which was basically granting special rights to homosexuals regarding employment and housing. And I think he could see the big picture. He knew that, okay, well, their first step is homosexuality, and you know, their next step is transgenderism, and their next, you know, along with that, they'll introduce bestiality, and it's just a matter of time before they add that to their list. And but then the ultimate goal, just this week, I think the Holy Spirit pricked me as I read a story. Germany just overturned a ban on child marriage. So now what they're saying is that a 14-year-old can marry. Well, sure, the example that they give you is a 14-year-old marrying a 21-year-old. But what's going to stop them from marrying a 70-year-old or whatever, or Muslims coming in and marrying them? You know, we have to have...
And that's what they do. A lot of people don't realize
that's, it, right.
But that's what they do, is they come in and, you know, they marry a lot of. And it's not 14-year-olds, it's 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds, and 6-year-olds.
Yeah, well, that's their ultimate goal. That's what we need to realize, is they want to normalize... you know, it's just like the stories or the messages we've been looking at, that, like in the days of Noah.
Yes.
Well, what was it in the days of Noah? Man's thought were continually deprived. And, you know, when you get to a point where there's all this pedophilia and it's commonplace and there is no more morality, that's what their end goal is, you know. Like Dad said time and time again, they know their Bibles better than most Christians, and they know how to destroy us, and all they have to do is get us to fall into their sin. And we've done a pretty good job at it as a nation, as a country, even throughout the world. But the good news is there's a certain number of people that are waking up. There's a certain remnant that God said would never fall into that trap. And as long as there's a breath in some of us, we'll continue to proclaim the truth and expose the enemy for what they are. But we have to be leery of the camel's nose under the tent. And our pastor was. And there's things that are going on right now that are camel's nose under the tent that we need to be the watchmen over the house of Israel and make sure that we don't fall into those traps.
So that's exactly down the lines of what I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about tolerance and how it affects our us individually and how it's affected our country today. I believe the older that I get, the more tolerant I get and the less tolerant I get. The more tolerant I get of good people that make mistakes, you know, as far as the turning the other cheek type idea. I realize that, you know, there are a lot of things that we do to each other that necessarily isn't even on purpose, you know, and so we should have patience and treat each other with love. But then also the intolerant side of it, the things that are sin, you know, call them sin, and the people that commit these heinous acts, you know, when people saw. So there's a situation here locally where a guy was busted going to a hotel to meet with a lady and a 13-year-old girl. This was a 50-something-year-old man that was they caught him in a sting operation. So you got a 50-something-year-old man going to go get with a 13-year-old girl. It was being discussed around the office, and different ones had different ideas, but my point of view on it is killing. You know, don't waste time, don't waste money. That's what needs to happen. And so we got into the discussion, and most of the guys that I've talked to about it or talked to me about it, you know, they agree that they've had enough of the way that they are feeding on our people.
Predators, yeah. Yeah, and then you'll have the ones that'll say, well, they can't help it. They were born that way, you know. That's the same. That's really what they're going for. Even the psychologists are trying to push that narrative, you know, just like they're saying, well, the homosexuality and trans, all this stuff is, they're born that way. Well, no, they're not. Even their own medical and scientific discoveries prove that it's absolutely not that way. But it's funny how they're accepting. We're supposed to be accepting and tolerant to their devious sin, but they're not accepting and tolerant to our Christian beliefs, obviously.
But you made the point, John, earlier, and I think it's, well, I know it's spot on as far as when you do have somebody that's in a fight like that, and we, if we're doing anything, we all go through those fights, but we need to lift each other up in prayer and physically and what have you, and be there to support, because I know y'all said it many times the fight might not be at your house today, but one day it's going to be, and there may not be anybody left to stand with you.
Yeah. Well, it's a spiritual warfare, and you know, if God's people don't care enough to fight these battles and don't care enough to support those that are fighting these battles through the leading of the Holy Spirit, no doubt, then why should he? You know, in reality, a lot of these people pay more tribute to their God, the God of this world, than most Christians do that don't give them the time of day. So, I mean, it's, the lines are being drawn all across the country, throughout the world, and I know for a fact that it depends on how many heed 2 Chronicles 7:14. We've known that for years, but that's the reality. When my people, or if, it actually says in the King James, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That means you run from sin, not towards sin. That means that when your conscience tells you that something's wrong, you don't do it. Anyways, then his promise is he will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal the land. He's given us a window, and that window is a very short window, shorter than windows in the past, I believe. But it's all going to come down to whether our people bend the knee and cry out and provide that spiritual support that's necessary, I think, for the righteous angels to to be victorious in the battle of good versus evil.
No, I agree with that 100%.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and I mean, as we talk about these things, I mean, it's, you know, there's things that are changing all over the world. But I mean, that's what we need to remember is, you know, greater is he that is for us than he that is against us, you know, and, you know, we got to stand our ground. Right now, if we look at, you know, see what's happened over in, you know, Germany, German Chancellor Angela Merkel told an audience in Berlin this week that nation states should be willing to give up their sovereignty and that governments should not listen to their own citizens on matters of immigration. I mean, you know, and you talk about, you know, socialism, communism, you know, coming to the motherland. I mean, it's, you know, it's there. And I mean, they're blatantly coming out saying, hey, you know, we really don't care what the people think. We don't really care what the people want. We think that we know better. You know, and as you look at, you know, she's got to be a demon in the flesh. I mean, you look at her, and she is just one of the most evil women. She reminds me of Hillary. It's just pathetic. But it's, you know, I mean, it's happening there. It's happening, you know, all over the place. You look at what's happening in Sweden. I mean, basically, Sweden's on the verge of civil war right now, and it's going to break out. And, you know, honestly, that's probably what the country needs over there, too. A lot of people are saying, oh, they're all worried about it. But, I mean, there's people that have had enough. And they've said that I can stand all I can stand, and I can stand no more. And, you know, they're done. And, you know, that's what, you know, thank God for them, and may God be with them for those that are standing up for righteousness and you know, fighting this communistic system that's just dragging them down into the toilet.
Absolutely, it is. You know, France is going through the same thing. We've talked about that a little bit. Their yellow vest you know, revolution that they've got going on, and why not? Their president, Macron, that's how you say it, here's a quote from him, and it was in this similar article, Jason, about Merkel. And so here's the French president, Macron, saying patriotism is the exact opposite of nationalism because nationalism is treason. So if you're a Frenchman and you love France and you want France for French people, you are guilty of treason. That's communism. That's the double thing that they have put up. And you see how at least some of the French people, the French working class, are revolting. You don't see it much on CNN, but they have had some of the most violent and destructive riots. And these are Caucasian, French-born, you know, citizens that are protesting. You know, here it says the Franco-German France and German coupling has the obligation not to let the world slip into chaos and to guide it on the road to peace. See, it sounds good. They put this out, and it goes on and says Europe, and this is Macron, the French president. Europe must be stronger and win more sovereignty. And that EU member states must surrender national sovereignty to Brussels over things like foreign affairs, migration, and development, as well as giving an increasing part of our budget and even fiscal resources. And so that is exactly what they're doing. They're coming in and they're taking, you know, the Soviet Union came in and took the countries after World War II by force. Macron and Merkel are taking them by just declaration, just saying this is what we've got to do, and they're doing it.
Well, it's like Brexit. The people declared that they want Brexit. They want,
that's right,
removed from the EU. And how long ago was that? Over 2 years, as far as I can,
yes,
recall. But you know, they're saying, well, the people, just like you guys say, the people don't know what they want. You know, it sounds exactly what the city council did here in Fort Collins, Colorado, back when Dad started that war. And the people, there was a vote. It went on to the ballot, and the people voted overwhelmingly that no, we don't want Amendment 2. And the city council deemed that it was best for the city and went ahead and passed it anyways. And it, you know, basically, there was a few people who went out and got more than 10,000 signatures, I believe, in the first couple of days and overruled, vetoed what the city council wanted. But, you know, as soon as we, as soon as you expose your hand and you show these things, I can even remember when Dad was fighting that battle. He proved to them that they had no legal ground, no case against him. And what did they do? They changed the law. Well, what do they do now? They make it where you can't overrule their, rulings, and they do things in secret. They do it in the dark. They do it at night. But the good news is, as long as we keep praying, those promises are still there, that the things that were done in the dark will be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. And if you can't see that that's what's going on right now, there's things from, you know, decades ago that are being brought up, that are being exposed. And that's why these people are pulling out all the stops. They're not even hiding anymore. They used to try to smoke and mirrors to bring this destruction upon our people, this enslavement. They're not even hiding it anymore. And that's why we need to realize that this window we've been given, if we don't heed these warnings and follow the direction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to pray continuously,
amen,
we lose this window. We ain't seen nothing yet. Hillary's going to look like a choir girl compared to the plans that they have for Christians. And they're doing it right now in the Middle East. They are literally, utterly destroying anyone who holds to the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen. John, let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. I was sitting here as I'm listening to you. John had mentioned a couple weeks ago about the Kennedy assassination, and I don't think John was even alive yet when Kennedy was assassinated, but yet he knows more about that assassination than a lot of people that I've heard. And I'm 100% in agreement with him over who was responsible for it, and I believe the Federal Reserve was, without a doubt. I was here when Kennedy was assassinated. I was a junior in high school. Never forget it. But what I wanted to tell you, now I'm forgetting what I wanted to tell you. God, send the thought back to me, please. Okay. Just don't ever forget, and John wasn't around here when I watched on Walter Cronkite's CBS News, Nikita Khrushchev standing up there in 1961 or two in front of the United Nations, took his shoe off and banged it on the podium saying, "We will bury you without firing a shot. We will feed you a little bit of socialism every day until you wake up one day and you will have communism." I'll never forget that. And I'm sorry, Vladimir Putin is a real popular guy with a lot of people, but I'm sorry, there's something there. I just still don't trust Russia under any circumstances. I don't trust them at all. And so that was my thought. I'll let you guys hash that one over for a while. I'm going to be on the side listening to you. God bless you all, and hang in there.
Thanks for the call. You hang in there,
You're
too.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Amen. I agree. I wasn't there. And I, you know what? The things that I recite are things that I've read and researched, and also things that our pastor had revealed to us. Many years ago, I remember him distinctly talking about Khrushchev beating his shoe on the podium and telling exactly what you said. But I do appreciate the fact that you were there and you witnessed it. And so, thank you.
Amen. Amen. And the axiom is true. If we do not learn from our history, history like that, you know, the leader of the communist nation saying, "We will take you over." They, you know, our pastor taught that. You mentioned it earlier, John. It's a rule of war. It's a rule of warfare. The enemy has to tell you what they're going to do, what they want to do, maybe what they've done. Pastor brought it up many times that they would present these things in movies, and tell you what they're doing in movies or what they want to do and present it as fiction so that the people could accept it as fiction and that it follows the rule of war, that they tell you what they want to do. And you just heard it from you know, someone that was alive there that was that saw it happen. And we either learn from that or we are doomed to repeat it.
Well, one of the most significant points, I think, is, and this is one of the points I brought up, I think, a couple weeks ago. Number one, who was the head of the CIA at the time that JFK Sr. was assassinated? George Herbert Walker Bush. What did he do? He sealed up all the documents for 25 years. When was the first time that all those documents were available for a U.S. president to view? 2017. Who was the president in 2017? Donald J. Trump. That means Donald J. Trump is the first one, other than the establishment, to see all of the documents related to JFK's assassination, which means he understands that the CIA took him out because of his stance against the Federal Reserve. That's the facts.
Amen.
He also knows, being a New Yorker, what happened in 9/11. And I, for one, will continue to pray that the things in the dark will be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops, and all of those that have perpetrated these acts against God's people will be held accountable. That's the way I'm going to continue to pray.
Amen.
And believing that it shall be so.
Amen. Amen. You know, the people in New Jersey that that still have a little bit of common sense have been told to that it is a fourth-degree felony now to keep your high-capacity magazines that last month were legal. And we've kind of mentioned a thing or two about that. Kind of, you know, I think that they're testing the waters. There in New Jersey, we've seen basically a gun ban in Boulder, registration, certification, things like that. But New Jersey, apparently, nobody in New Jersey has high-capacity mags because nobody's turning them in. And thought that was pretty interesting, that it made just a little hashtag on the news and had a little deal that happened in Washington as well after the holidays. So just this past week, there was a like a hardware store, and two youths, unnamed, 23 and 24, something like that, walked in, picked up four, high-dollar, like, staple guns, you know, the big air pneumatic staple guns, about $400 a piece. They picked up one each, so they had four of them, and just walked out the store. Walked out the store and got in their car to drive away. Well, about that time, six armed citizens drew their sidearms, that whether they were legally carrying or not is, I guess, up to your definition of legal, and pointed guns at them and said, "No, you're not going anywhere." They had a quote from one of the people in the car, said, "Go ahead and run him over, he won't shoot." He was wrong. The criminal was wrong, and at least two of the citizens opened fire, shot the tires out of the vehicle. And of course the car drove on. The cops were called. They found the vehicle about two blocks away with all the stolen goods inside of it. It was one of the person's vehicles, so they've arrested the robbers. And the police put out a little note and said, if you were one of the six armed citizens that fired your weapon at these people, we'd appreciate it if you'd come in and tell us what happened. Because those six armed citizens put their pistols back in their holsters and left. And, you know, and so it caught my attention because, you know, here you have people that love their neighbor as themselves, that aren't worried about lawyers and everything getting into, you know, you got a guy that's running his hardware store that he's trying to make a living, and he's running on thin margins, trying to compete with the big boys and everything else, and and just the lawlessness that these unnamed youths, and I can tell you why they were unnamed, because they was probably like, you know, Darnell Leroy Washington would be my guess, would be one of their names. You can read between the lines, and, you know, when they're not named or their pictures aren't in there, you can kind of guess who they are. But these six armed citizens that just happened to be there, six of them, not one, six, said, no, you know, thou shalt not steal is written on their heart. And I bet these two yahoos won't be, I bet they'll think twice before they just try to steal again. Anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting, that there are people waking up. There are people that are standing up to this.
The only power that the enemy has is the power that we give them. And if we all stand together and we follow the Christian principles, if we follow God's laws over man's laws, then we'll be victorious, period. They have no power, and they know it. That's why they have to continue to try to squelch anyone who would dare stand against the establishment.
Amen.
Like Jack Phillips, like Pastor Peter John Peters, like
Amen.
Anyone who would dare take a stand all the way to the point of persecution. That's where separates the men from the boys and where the rubber meets the road. Are you willing to suffer the persecution to stand on the truth and the beliefs? Very few are.
Amen.
Better invite people to church, just about out of time.
Yeah, just about are. Well, folks, we do invite you to come to church with us, and you can do that without leaving your home. You can just log on to the website, scripturesforamerica.org. Not really a log on, just click on it. And if you have a good internet on the live video stream, that starts at 8:30 tomorrow morning, 8:30 Sunday morning, that's Mountain Time, that's 9:30 Central and 10:30 on the East Coast, and 7:30 for those on the West Coast. And join us. We'll have a review of the news. We'll start out with that. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that, boy, the last several that Jason has been bringing have just been, it certainly is seeing a window to the past. But if you pay attention, you see that the things, like you said earlier, John, that Pastor Peters, the prophet, the seer, was putting out, we are seeing those things happen. The things we've seen from Colonel Moore and Pastor Jones, the warnings they were giving were absolutely true. And we see them coming to pass today. And very interesting, very interesting. So we encourage you to join for that. John, looking forward to your live message tomorrow. Hopefully maybe a little more on Enoch. I know we've had several people asking. It's all I can do to keep the book in stock. I'm ordering 2 and 3 dozen at a time. And before you know it, I'm calling them back and saying, send me some more. And they said, didn't you just get some? And yeah, so it's that book of Enoch is finding interest with people. It sure is. People are finding interest with it. And
well, praise the Lord.
Yeah, we're
hopefully, Lord willing, I'll have a message on for the new year to
awesome.
Not underestimate the power of your enemy. So, Lord
Amen.
Willing, that'll be the message.
Amen. Looking forward to that. So we encourage you to come there, folks. You can do that. If you don't have a good internet, you can tune in and listen. And if you don't have either one of those, we do record it, and we make a DVD, and we send hundreds of those out on Monday morning. And we'll be able to do that, even though Monday on the calendar will be New Year's Eve. We'll still get them out to the post office on Monday, good Lord willing, and get those to those. So if you'd like that, you can let us know. So. And we'll have a communion message, and so we encourage you to join us. Don't forsake the assembly. It's part of the choices that we make. And I hope you make the right choice. Well, guys, we're out of time. Again, thanks for joining us, and Josh, thanks for tuning in with us and joining us this morning. We sure appreciate it, and hopefully, folks, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
rolling, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and free together, make 'em hell sent forever. Knowing the king is